Morning, church. Let us take Psalm 115, Psalm 115. Nuti Padaninj Sangirtanam Vaikyam. Psalm 115, let us read together. Psalm 115. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. Not to us, O Lord, not to us. But to your name give glory, because of your loving kindness, because of your truth. Why should the nations say, where now is their God? But our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of man's hand. They have mouths, but they cannot speak. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. They have noses, but they cannot smell. They have hands, but they cannot feel. They have feet, but they cannot walk. They cannot make a sound with their throat. Those who make them will become like them, everyone who trusts in them. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, the small together with the great. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord. But the earth he has given to the sons of men. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence. But as for us, we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forever. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let us give thanks to God this morning for the beautiful psalm that he's given to us. Let us lift up our holy hands this morning and thank God for the psalm that he's given to us. Just as the psalmist says, we will praise the Lord forevermore. His praise will be on our lips. He is worthy of praise. We have placed our trust in him. He is worthy of praise. Hallelujah. Let us praise the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. 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 We worship you, Jesus. We thank you, Father. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you, Father, for this beautiful time that you've given to us this morning. We thank you, Father, for this day of worship where we get to gather as a church community. Father, irrespective of where we are gathered, irrespective of where we are seated, Lord, Father, we believe we are ushered together in the same presence of the living God, into the throne room of the living God. And this morning we are here to give you praise. We worship you, King of kings and Lord of lords. Father, we thank you that you are worthy of praise. And we will praise you forevermore. Forevermore praise will be on our lips, Lord. We thank you, Father, this morning. We submit this psalm into your mighty hands. I pray that you will minister to us, that you will speak to us, that you will stir our hearts to hear from you. Father, be with me as I speak. Let your name be glorified. Be with your children as they listen. Let your spirit minister to them. Thank you, Father, for all that you do. In Jesus' mighty precious name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Good morning, church. It is such a blessing for me to be here before all of you. I know that you as a church have been praying together and have been concerned with myself and Betty, especially with our travel, with the Betty's health, with Betty's immigration papers. All of that has just been a concern. And I know that you as a church have been praying. And I just want to, I will, when I finish this psalm, or speaking from the psalm, I will take a few minutes to share a little bit of what God has been doing in both of our eternal lives. But this morning, let us look at this psalm together. Psalm 115. Nuti Padanenjam Sangirtanam. When we read this psalm is in a series of psalm from Psalm 113 to Psalm 118. Nuti Padamunam Sangirtanam Mudal Nuti Padanetam Sangirtanam Vere ഇതൊരു സീരിയസ് ആയിട്ടാണ് നമ്മൾ കണക്കാക്കേണ്ടത്. ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് എ സാം ഇൻ എ സീരീസ്. ദിസ് സീരീസ് ഈസ് കോൾഡ് ഈജിപ്ഷ്യൻ ഹലേൽ സീരീസ്. ഇറ്റ്സ് കോൾഡ് ഈജിപ്ഷ്യൻ ഹലേൽ. യു മൈറ്റ് ബി അണ്ടർസ്റ്റാൻഡ് ലൈക്ക് വാട്ട് ഇസ് ദ പോയിന്റ് ഓഫ് കോളിംഗ് ഇറ്റ് ഈജിപ്ഷ്യൻ ഹലേൽ. ഹലേൽ മീൻസ് ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ദ വേർഡ് ഫോർ പ്രൈസ് ടു ഗോഡ്. ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ഹലലൂയ. We say that this morning. Hallelujah! And then usually the church will respond, Hallelujah! What does this mean? Hallel is, it is a Hebrew word that is derived from the word praise. El is the word God. Hallel means praise to God. Hallelujah is praise to Yahweh. So when we say Hallelujah, we are saying in Hebrew, praise the Lord. It's the same thing. It's synonymous. It does not mean anything different. So when we say praise the Lord, devathe stuthikka ennu parayumbol nammal hallelujah ennu parayan kaariyam, because we are praising God in the Hebrew language. Hallelujah. Amen. So this word hallel is praise. Why is it called Egyptian hallel? Psalm 113 to Psalm 118 is usually a series of psalms that is read, prayed, and sung over during the time of the Jewish celebration of Passover, അല്ലെങ്കിൽ പെസഹ. When the people of the Jews celebrate Passover, they sing the songs from Psalm 113 to 118. Even today, these are the psalms that are sung by faithful Jews all over the world during their celebration of the Passover. What is the Passover? The Passover is the celebration of the Israelites being set free from Egyptian captivity into freedom. Once they were slaves of the Egyptian captors, once they were slaves to the Pharaoh, once they had to make mortar and brick, but then they became free and God set them free. And so these psalms from Psalm 113 to Psalm 118 are praise the Lord psalms, allengil hallelujah psalms. They are psalms that are sung in response of praise to God, particularly because God set them free from slavery. So that is why this psalm is called Egyptian Hallel series. So Psalms 113 and Psalms 114. So if you study the Jewish Passover meal, the main meal is called Seder. So when they gather together as a family to celebrate this meal, it's called the Seder feast or the Seder meal. It is a mix of painful and joyful occasion. What's up? There are so many rules that you have to follow when you're following the Passover meal. If you have some time after church meeting, not now, but after church meeting, look up on YouTube, what does a Jewish Passover meal look like? There are Messianic Jews who talk about the Passover meal. The Passover meal is a representation of Jesus Christ. Paul in Corinthians says, Jesus is our Passover. So Passover is the breaking free of the Egyptian slavery and being set free to follow God and worship Him. But for us New Testament Christians, it is the freedom of being set free from the slavery of sin into the freedom to worship God the way He deserves to be worshipped in truth and in spirit. Jesus is our Passover. Jesus is our Passover lamb. Jesus is our bread. Jesus is our wine. Jesus is everything. When Jesus had the last meal, the Last Supper was a Passover meal. It wasn't a love feast. It wasn't when people just gathered together and just they were eating ordinary food. It was a celebration of the Passover. That is what was the Last Supper. The Last Supper was a Passover meal. I just want to turn our attention quickly to Matthew chapter 26, verse 30. மத்தாய் எழுதிய சுவிசேஷம் 26 அந்த 30 வாக்கியம். Matthew chapter 26, verse 30. It says, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Now, this is right after the Passover meal was celebrated. This one, in from verse 26, while they were eating, Jesus took some bread. After a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the wine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And then verse 30, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. This is the tradition that Jews follow. Before the Passover Seder meal was celebrated, Psalm 113 and Psalm 114 would be sung as a group. 113-ஆம் சங்கீர்த்தனம் 114-ஆம் சங்கீர்த்தனம் அவர் ஒரு கூட்டமாயிட்டு பெஷஹ கைக்கின்ற முன்பே அல்லங்க பாஸ்ஓவர் மீல் கைக்கின்ற முன்பே அவர் ஈ ரெண்டு சங்கீர்த்தனம் பாடவும். Right after the meal, the first psalm that they would sing is Psalm 115. So when we read this portion in Matthew 26, Jesus finished the Passover meal. He broke the bread, gave the wine, and drank it. And they're going towards the Garden of Gethsemane. They're singing Psalm 115. Let us read this psalm that Jesus and his disciples sang together right before the night that Jesus was betrayed. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, Jesus is singing this psalm with his disciples right after the Lord's Supper. So we're singing this psalm together. Not to us, O Lord, Psalm 115, verse 1. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory because of your loving kindness, because of your truth. I'll read till verse 3. Why should the nation say, where now is their God? But our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. So this is a psalm that many people, Jewish people, believe is written by Moses. Psalm 113 to 118, they believe, are psalms written by Moses. But this one psalm is a psalm that is sung right after the celebration of the Passover. I don't want to get into the details and all of the Passover meal. There's so much symbolism in the Passover meal. There is green bitters that is red. There's a lamb shank bone that is had. There is things that are there. There's a dessert that is eaten that looks like mud and mortar. There is boiled egg that is eaten. There is unleavened bread. It's called matzah that they break. And they eat together. There's the washing of hands that has to happen when Jesus takes the towel to wash his hands. There is again symbolism there, because usually at the Passover feast, it's only the leader of the table who washes his hands. And it's a symbol that every one of the table's hands are being washed. So all they do is they just take a mug, pour over the water on both hands, just wash, and then they take part in the meal. But Jesus went further than that. He stripped down and wiped his, not just his disciples' hands, but also his disciples' feet. All of these are symbols of Passover, which we don't understand because we don't have the Jewish history with us. If we were Jewish people and we had the Jewish history along with us, we would have understood whatever Jesus did, even of the washing of the feet and washing of the hands, was a sign of the Passover meal. We don't get that because we don't understand the Jewish meal. But this symbol, even as Psalm 115 is being sung after the Passover meal, the starting of the psalm in verses 1 to 3, they're calling on God to show his power to the nations. Let me just divide the psalm. You know that if you like taking notes, I like to divide the psalms accordingly. Psalm 1 to 3 is calling on God to show his power to the nations. Verses 1 to 3. Verses 4 to 8 is talking against the idols or other gods of the other nations, that there is no power with the other god. Verses 9 to 13, it is the invitation for Israel, for the priests and all the believers to worship God and to be blessed by God. Verses 14 to 15 is a blessing that is being spoken over God's people. Verses 6 to 18, God is to be praised. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And we are his stewards. God has seen us as his stewards. And so this is how the psalm is divided. And as I look into verses 1 to 3, it says, the people who are singing the psalm is saying, not to us, O Lord, not to us. Not because of us. Don't rescue us because we are worthy. Don't save us because we are worthy to be saved. Don't do miracles on account of our faithfulness. This morning when we sang our first English song, we were declaring about his faithfulness, God's faithfulness, in spite of our unfaithfulness. That was the first English song that we sang this morning. This is talking about not to us, O God, not to us, but to your name give glory. When God does wonders for us, it is all glory and honor to God. We are not worthy of God saving us. We are not worthy of God rescuing us. We are not worthy of receiving the miracles that God does. If God chooses to save us, all glory and honor to his name. If he doesn't choose us to save us, we know he is able to save us, but all glory and honor to his name. We don't demand God to do a miracle for us. We have no right to. God is not a genie. We are not the God of our God. We don't tell God, God, if you save us, right now you have to save us. God does not have to listen to us. He's not our servant. We are the servants of the Most High God. I've heard pastors say this from the pulpit, not anyone in this church, but in the Middle East. I've heard them say, ee devam enne rakshichillengil njani pustham thara vittu njani sabai vidum. If God doesn't save me today, if he doesn't do wonders today, I will leave this Bible and go. And in my head, I'm like, who are these people who think that God cares about them? If you are waiting for God to do a miracle, otherwise you will leave the church. Leave the church! You have no idea of the true brokenness that comes from serving God. You have no right to demand God to do something for you. God is not our slave. I've heard pastors do this from the pulpit. How shameful it is. How lack of reverence there is for the holy God. God is not our bidder. God bids us, we obey. God has no need to obey us. We should have reverence for God. We serve a holy God. The reason why I'm saying this morning is a lot of times we misunderstand that God can save us. And if he doesn't save us, we get upset. We get annoyed. We get frustrated. It's like, God, I did this for you. I did that for you. I gave tithe for you. I did this and that for you. Don't we understand that our whole life we are debted to God? He saved us from the brink of death. He saved us from utter destruction. Anything he does on top of that is a bonus. Anything he does on top of that is a bonus. He is not obligated to save us. But he did. From the cross of Calvary, he did. Anything else is extra. The greatest thing you can receive as a child of God is to enter into eternal salvation and into eternal knowledge of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Everything else is extra. You get your bonus. You get the financial prosperity. You get the best car. You get the best house. You get the best family. You get all the provision that you need. You get healed of all your diseases. You get healed of your sickness. That's all extra. God is not obligated to make your life comfortable or my life comfortable. He died for us on the cross, not for me to live a cushy life here on earth. He died on the cross for me so that I can come into a living relationship, a loving relationship with him for all eternity. Anything else is his favor, his mercy, his grace. And God's loving kindness endures forever. But why should God save us? Not because of us. God did not save Israel out of Egypt because they were such good people. God did not save Israel out of Egypt because they were such a worshipful and such a holy group of people. They were muttering complainer cocks. That's what we used to say. They always complain all the time. Any opportunity they get, they have to complain. There is no water, they'll complain of water. God gives them manna, no, not good enough. God gives them meat, not good enough. They are always complaining. All the time. We look back and read their stories. It's like they have the pillar of fire. They saw the Red Sea part. They saw the cloud of smoke that is going in front of them. And how they can complain? We are no different. God has given his Holy Spirit to us. It is living inside of us. We are living supernatural lives every day. And yet we mutter and complain. Yet we shake when a problem comes. Yet we become anxious and worried when difficulties come into our life. Because we're human. And God knows that. Thank God for his grace. Because honestly, if I was God, I would have been done with the human race a long time ago. I would have been done with myself. If I just look at myself, I'd be like, why is this guy shaking every time a problem comes? Why is this guy worried? 2 weeks ago, this guy talks about the faithfulness of God. A problem comes immediately. He's stressed, worried, shaken up. Who is this guy? We are all human. God knows that. Yet this morning, when God saves us, it's not because we are worthy to be saved. When he does a miracle, it's not because we are worthy to be miracle. We receive a miracle. It's because of God's goodness and for the glorification of God's name. God did not save Israel out of Egypt just because of his grace and mercy, but also to show the nations around them there is a living God. 40 years later, after Israel walked out from the Red Sea, the whole city of Jericho is in fear because they know there is a living God among the Israelites. Do the people around in our neighborhood know the stories that God has done in our life? Do they know that in their neighborhood there is someone who is serving the living God? How can they know if we don't share? How can they know if we don't proclaim the goodness of our God?
When my brother Joash was a child, he was in first grade and he went to school and he got a cut. He fell down on something. He got a cut on his hand. And he said, he has a friend. His friend there, his name was Ryan. So he had a friend there. And him and Ryan are very close friends. Back, this was in the Middle East in Sharjah. So he told his friend Ryan, I fell down, I'm bleeding. And his friend was like, oh no, what happened? He said, that's okay. I will pray. Jesus can heal me. He's only in first grade, okay? So he places his hand on his finger, prays, and the bleeding stops. So he tells Ryan, see, my Jesus healed me. Jesus healed my hand. His bleeding has stopped. So we don't know any of the story. Josh doesn't come back home and tell us that he was praying and Jesus healed him. He just goes about his life. A few months later, they had a function in the school where the children were doing their program. And my mom and my dad went to the function. And lo and behold, sitting next to my mom is Ryan's mom. So they don't know each other. So they ask, oh, who's your child? Who's your child? And they're talking and they're saying, oh, that's Ryan. Oh, we have heard so much about Ryan. Oh, yeah, you're Josh's mom. Oh, yeah, we've heard so much about Josh. They're both really good friends. And so when they were talking about this one, it's like she said, I want to know more about your faith and why your son has such a strong relationship with God. So my mom is taken aback. My mom is like, well, what do you mean? And so the story that I just recounted to you, Ryan's mom said that to my mom. And then that became an opportunity for them to hear about the gospel of the living God. That whole family came to know about Jesus Christ. The mother got baptized and got saved. Why? Because one child was willing to share the story of what God had done in his life. To us, it might be such a small, minor thing, but that story brought a family into the faith. If we keep quiet, how will they know that our God is a living God? We have to glorify God's name and share what God has done in our lives. It's not because we are worthy. It's not because we are special, but because his name is worthy to be glorified and all the nations should shake knowing that there is a living God. Not just Jericho, but all the nations in the world right now should shake because of the supernatural things that God is doing in our life. We want the nations to shake. We want Canada to shake. But we don't want our neighborhood to shake. We don't want our workplace to shake. We don't want our schools to shake, our colleges to shake. We want to be comfortable without shaking anyone else's bubble. But we are praying for revival. Revival begins when we start recounting what God has done in our lives. If we are silent, Who will speak forth? Let us be bold. Can't believe I've got 5 more minutes and I just finished 3 verses. Okay, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory because of your loving kindness, because of your truth. Why should the nation say, where now is the God? But our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. Let the nations all shut up. They have no right to speak. Because our God is a living God. He is a wonder-working God. This morning, he still works wonders. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. Verses 4 to 8 is talking about the idols. We'll read through it very quickly. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of man's hand. They have mouths, but they cannot speak. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. They have noses, but they cannot smell. They have hands, but they cannot feel. They have feet, but they cannot walk. They cannot make a sound with their throat. Those who make them will become like them, everyone who trusts in them. Let me tell you, this verse is talking about what you worship, you will become. Ningal yenduana aradikinada. Ningal adupole agu. Whatever you worship, you will become like that. If you worship pop stars and you look up to them and you want to become more like them, you will end up like them. Whatever is your idol, remove it. Because you are not serving to become an idol. You are serving to be like Jesus. That is why we worship Jesus. To be more like Jesus. നമ്മൾ യേശു ക്രിസ്തുവിനെ ആരാധിക്കുമ്പോൾ നമ്മൾ യേശു ക്രിസ്തുവിനെ പോലെ ആകും. We are being transformed into the likeness of Christ when we worship Jesus Christ. We put on the immortal, the mortal body that we wear will put on immortality. What is putting on immortality? Putting on Christ Jesus.
We put on Christ Jesus. He is the mortal one. So let us not worship anything else. Whatever our hearts desire, whatever we worship, we end to become like them. Everything in this world will become rubber, will become rubbish. It will become nothing in this world. We cannot take anything in this world with us. But the one thing we can take is our relationship with Jesus. Even when we die, we cannot take our relationship with our spouses. Until death do us apart. That's the relationship that's the greatest in this world. That relationship also we cannot take after death. But the relationship we can keep for all eternity is the relationship we have with Jesus. That's an eternal relationship. That's the only thing that counts. Invest into that with all of your heart. Nothing else matters. Everything else is rubbish in light of the eternal relationship you have with God. Let us turn. Let's read verses 9 onwards. O Israel, trust in the Lord. Now pay attention to the order. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. It repeats again. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. First Israel, second house of Aaron. Third, you who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. So first Israel, second house of Aaron. Third, you who fear the Lord, all believers. Again, it repeats itself in verse 12. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. Remember the order. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, the small together with the great. This identity of it coming from those who fear the Lord, O Israel, they are the chosen people of God. The house of Aaron, they are the worship leaders, the Levites, the priests. Third is those who fear the Lord. Everyone who fears God is going to be blessed by God. And that prayer repeats itself. It repeats itself. What is this blessing that God will give? Verses 14 and 15 is that blessing. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. God is going to pour out his blessing. Not because we are worthy. Remember, in the beginning of this chapter, it's not because we are worthy. It's not because the house of Israel is worthy. Not because the house of Aaron is worthy. Not because those who fear him are worthy. But because God is worthy. Because God is glorious. Verses 16 to 18. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence. But as for us, we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forever. Praise the Lord, or hallelujah. This is talking about how there is two identities for the children of God. One is the priestly identity that comes from the house of Aaron or from the order of Melchizedek that I talked about. And the other identity comes from where? From us being rulers or stewards of the earth. That is why in verse 16, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. So he has given us authority and rulership, kingdom authority and power on this earth. Not to demand that car is now mine because I am the son of a king. No, it is to be good stewards of the earth. God has called us to be stewards. We have these two identities, royal priesthood, royal being kingly, priesthood being in the gap to minister. God has called us not to lord over the people of the earth, but to serve as ambassadors to the kingdom of the earth. And I just want to end this really quick, but I want to say, God has done great things in our life. He is worthy to be praised. His name is to be glorified. This last week has been a very, very stressful week for me and Betty. We were planning to leave Canada
in this coming Tuesday or Wednesday, we were looking at tickets, we were looking at different things. Some of you, or at least most of you, if not all of you, know that Betty is here on student visa. She's on international student visa. When we applied for her PR, we expected her PR to come really soon. But because, I believe because of the pandemic, the papers got delayed. But she's pregnant. And her student permit will expire on August 30th. After August 30th, she will have no status here in Canada. So we were worried about her traveling. When she first came to Canada in 2018, September, we found out that she had a blood clot in her leg. And you know this story. A blood clot is a very dangerous thing. In a matter of seconds, if the clot moves up to the heart, people can die and there's nothing that can be done unless it is caught within a few minutes of that clot moving up. It's a very scary thing. Yet, so another thing that can create blood clot is pregnancy and travel. Those two things are not considered good for people who have had history of blood clot. But we were like, we have no option. We applied for, even if we extend our health insurance, we will not, the health insurance will not take Aunt Betty because pregnancy is seen as something as a pre-existent condition. Since the baby was conceived before the term of the insurance, they will not cover pregnancy in a new insurance. So we were like, Lord, how can we afford anything here with the prices here? How can we move her to, her parents are back in Qatar. Can we move her back to Qatar? Is that the only option for us? She has blood clot. And then in our minds, we were like, okay, you know what? God can do it. God can protect her even in the plane. I will travel with her. That's not the best condition. We didn't want that. We shared that with some of you and some of you said, God will do something. Even before the end of this month, God will do something. And in the beginning of this month, we believed it. Last week, I wasn't holding on to it because I was like, it would be foolish to hold on to that and not make any plans, because what if nothing comes through, then we will be stuck. So I said, let's make a plan. Like Abraham, I said, let's make a plan. What if it doesn't work? So we decided, we contacted her parents, wanted to get her paperwork there in Qatar done. Processing all of that. They also were getting worried. My parents were getting worried. My siblings were getting worried. All of us are worried. All of us stressed. All of us anxious. And we're like, but all of us are also hopeful. All of us are praying. God can do something. And I said, yes, God can do something. Nothing is impossible for God. But just in case, which is totally fine. I think it is, you know, we can't demand God to do something for us. So if what if it doesn't happen? We know God is able. But if he doesn't, let us just be ready. There's nothing wrong with that. So while we were making these plans, a few weeks ago, we went to a lawyer in Brampton, a Bangladeshi lawyer, met him, and he rattled us. He shook us. He says, nothing you can do. You have to apply for this. You have to apply for that. Why didn't you apply until now? Why are you waiting last second? I guess, you know, and it's like, you have any more questions? It's like, we both, Betty and I, are shook, and we're like, we don't have any more questions. It's like, okay, leave. It was a 1 hour consultation. We left after 10 minutes. And we were so rattled, both of us in the car. We were like, we drove all the way to Brampton to receive like 10 minutes of this guy telling, you have any more questions? None? Okay, there's nothing that we can do. Leave. But then we got in contact with someone who said, the papers that you have, you can apply for OHIP already. And then we said, well, we got this paper. We went to Service Ontario. They said, this is not the paper. He said, the Service Ontario people are wrong. Go back again. We went to three different Service Ontario. See, if you have been in Service Ontario, you know how long the lines are. Incredibly frustrating. One thing I don't like is queues. I'm the sort of person who will sit down and wait for the queue to get over before I stand in queue because I don't like queues. So waiting in Service Ontario, the queues, my frustration is at the whole new level. And that too, not just one Service Ontario, we go to three Service Ontarios in less than 24 hours. Because this Service Ontario doesn't have the people, so they recommended another Service Ontario. We go to another Service Ontario, they, after reaching the line, reach the counter, they're like, no, we don't have the full service, you got to go to full Service Ontario. We go to the full Service Ontario, they tell us that we cannot take you because you don't have appointment. I said, please, please, my wife is pregnant. That's the best excuse. I love that excuse. I use that so much. My wife is pregnant. And then they were like, you know, under these exceptional circumstances, we will give you guys access. So we stood in line. We got it. We got approved with OHIP. We are now, Betty has medical insurance here in Canada. She's approved for OHIP. From the day we got it, we have OHIP. As if that's not enough. The person who we contacted, who was also a lawyer, said that Betty doesn't have to do anything. She has implied status here in Canada, and she can be here on as long as you change it from student visa and you apply for extension and get a visitor visa. I'm just getting the technical things here. She will be able to stay here in Canada without having to leave. Both of these concerns that I was so rattled, shaken, and stressed, worried about. For a few weeks, I've been sharing with my friends. I've shared with a couple of you, please pray. I'm a little bit stressed about this. And some of you have been praying, and the whole church, I believe, has been praying for us. And God has worked a wonder. I don't understand why he had to work it until the last moment, but God specializes in coming in at the 59th minute and the 59th second. Honestly, that's how it feels. We were just getting ready to pull out our bags and petties to pack things, and God just worked everything. Now, our room is still a little bit of a mess because the petties have to still go back. Our petties are still in the room. But what I'm saying is, it's such a wonder that this is just in the last 2 days. It's been a whirlwind of a ride. Of just knowing how God takes care of his children. And I can just tell like the people of Israel, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name is the glory. He is faithful even when we are faithful. Even when I was stressed out, even when I was worried, God provides a way. He makes a way where there is no way. He led the Israelites to a dead end, and they thought there is no other way out. The Pharaohs chasing after them. In our case, it was the immigration. And we felt there was no way ahead. God literally opened the Dead Sea and made us walk together. Betty and I, when we got married, we prayed this prayer. We said, Lord, we don't want to live a natural life. We want to live a supernatural life. Multiple times in our short year of married life, we questioned, why did we say that prayer so boldly? But we know that this is to glorify God's name. Praying for a supernatural life is not easy, but it means that when you have no other person to turn to, no other place to turn, God will come and save the day. Thank you, church, for your prayers. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for the calls. Thank you for the advice, the encouragement that you have been. I have not been a member of this family really long. It's been just a few months. You guys have been so loving and caring for both me and Betty. And we really, truly, from the bottom of my heart, appreciate it. I just want to say, just as this prayer, this word of blessing that is said in Psalm 115, verses 14 and 15, I cannot tell you that I have anything to bless you guys, but I know my Father in heaven will bless you. Now speak those words of blessing. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed of the Lord, Maker of heaven and earth. And just end with prayer. Father God, we thank you for the wonderful ways that you do things. Your ways are higher than our ways. Your plans are higher than our plans. Lord, we don't demand of you to do things for us. We are so grateful that you do things for us, even when we are unworthy, even when we don't deserve it, even when we are shaken up and we are anxious, worried, and stressed, and we doubt. You are still faithful. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this church family that I've come to cherish and love deeply as my own family.
Thank you, Father, for the love that they have been, the blessing that they have continued to be in our life. Lord, I pray that you will continue to bless them, that you will help them, Lord, to fulfill their roles, their calling on this earth, and to do it to the best of their ability, that your name be glorified. Thank you for the sound this morning. We want to bless you. We will praise you forever, more and more. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Teach us to love you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. May God bless you all with these words. And I pray that you will forgive me for taking a little bit more time to share my testimony. God bless you.